And we're the one with a low view of the Holy Spirit?
Philosophy, a hardbound collection of all the life lessons I've learned.
One or God ones. Is not a Gumby action figure that you can shape any way you want.
Phil, have you gone mental?
Act like men, not like girls.
I've got a real clear message for the two of you on that. Stop doing it.
How about we agree to argue until one of us actually refutes the other?
Are you kidding me?
No, it's time for Too Wretched for Radio. Phil, we're the one or the ones? I don't think ones is plural, is it? We're the one?
Well, no, ones.
Collective.
Yeah, you can have more than one one. Huh. Two ones. It's 11.
Well, then it would be two. If you've got two ones, then you'd have two, wouldn't you? What do I know about math? Let's get to it, shall we? All right, here's what we've got for your consideration, Mr. Johnson. I have some tweets that were written by one Todd Frielius, and I would like for you to comment on each of these tweets because these are written in response. And I've heard this, and I suspect you've heard it a lot too, Phil, from certain quarters, that you and I and others of our ilk have a very low view of the Holy Spirit. We're putting him in a box. We just don't know how wonderful it is to really, really, really have the Holy Spirit like some people have. And so I wrote these tweets. I'll share a tweet, and then you comment. Are you ready, sir?
I am ready.
All right, here we go. Let me put my cheaters on. Faith comes from hearing the word of God, not parlor tricks like leg lengthenings. Is there anything that you'd like to say about that tweet?
No, bingo. That's exactly right. I mean, that's what Scripture says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And in fact, when people challenged Jesus to do, you know, cosmic-size miracles in order to convince the unbelievers, Jesus' response was, miracles aren't going to convince them. They're not even going to believe if somebody rises from the dead. And, you know, that's the great lesson about faith. And in Hebrews 11 as well, those men endured as seeing that which is invisible, not because they saw the great miracles. And some of them actually did see and experience phenomenal miracles. But what provoked their faith was the word of God. And faith is always grounded in the word of God.
And faith comes from hearing. And not from shenanigans, because the leg lengthenings that we're seeing are hardly New Testament miracles. And they aren't organic. They aren't complete and instantaneous.
Not just the parlor trick style miracles, but some of the claims that are just patently lies. I listened to a video this week from Bethel Church where they were claiming that some kid in their youth group had walked on water and walk through walls and stuff like that. And I'd heard this a few years before, a couple of years earlier, but I listened to it again and I just thought, that is so patently a lie. I'm surprised they haven't taken the video down, because this supposedly happened in a crowd of teenagers with smartphones and nobody got a video of it. I don't believe the story.
No, because, yeah, well, see, they don't. When you're walking through a wall, that interrupts your phone's. So I'm just trying to come up with some reason that nobody ever seems to have a cell phone present when one of these miracles is being done.
Yeah.
It's really quite a statistic. Here's tweet number two for your consideration. We encounter the Holy Spirit by reading and applying his inspired word, not through glory glitter from Hobby Lobby.
Amen to that. I mean, it's the same principle, really. Just cheap, phony.
Well, we encounter the Holy Spirit. We feel his presence. I've heard this so many times, Phil. Sometimes the presence of the Holy Spirit was so powerful in the room, I couldn't even move. I felt, I couldn't even get up. The presence of the Holy Spirit was so strong, I couldn't even walk. Wait a second. I thought we encountered the Holy Spirit by reading and applying his word in that synergistic thing we call sanctification.
Yeah. Yeah, plus what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he'll convict the world of sin and judgment and righteousness. None of that has anything to do with the glory clouds and the cheap parlor tricks. It just doesn't.
All right, here's number three tweet. A high view of the Holy Spirit credits him with inspiration, regeneration, and sanctification, not fire tunnels. Go.
Yeah, amen to that too. The fire tunnels.
That's it? That's all I'm getting from you is an amen?
Yeah. What can I add to that? Other than that, to say not
well,
only
more
are
more than 140 characters, I would think.
Not only are fire tunnels not mentioned in Scripture, they have every similarity to demonic phenomena that happen in, you know, superstitious animistic religions. It's nothing like anything you'd see in Scripture.
Were you in the room at G3 when I was spending time with Justin Peters?
No.
When we were having a
meal
in the
break room? But I was at a different table with Vody Balcom, and if he's talking, you listen to him.
That is so not true, Phil. That is just, that is so, I actually watched your table great. It was you and Vody, and there was somebody else, another theologian at the table, and I thought, well, this is going to be fascinating because inevitably somebody kind of leads the conversation at a table. And it wasn't Vody, Phil.
Was it Steve Lawson?
No, it wasn't Steve Lawson, Phil.
I don't remember.
It was you. I was watching it. It's like, oh, this is going to be so fascinating to watch. And I don't know, you were actually, whatever it was that you were talking about, were relatively animated about it. So I don't know what the subject matter was, but I thought,
that was the part
like
where we were talking about you
at that
think.
Table.
That's, I think, the part where we were talking
okay,
about you.
Okay, fine. All righty, here we go. Back to the tweets. The Holy Spirit guides into truth, not chaos, confusion, and chicanery. I think I took that word from you, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and absolutely right. I mean, in the classic passage where Paul discusses the use of spiritual gifts in the context of the church, the whole point is that everything should be done decently and in order. And the chapter ends by saying God is not the author of confusion. He's not a God of confusion. And all the chaos and confusion that you see in these so-called manifestations actually go against everything Paul teaches in that chapter. Three chapters, actually, of 1 Corinthians, starting in chapter 12.
Is it okay? Now, just in fairness, would there be somebody who goes to a service like that and say, "Well, look, it's under control." Look, and Paul said, you know, if you've got something to say inside of the body, you can do that, just done decently in order. We think it's done decently in order. You just maybe are a little bit more uptight. How would you respond to that?
I would play for them that video of Heidi Baker acting drunk that you introduced.
Don't
me
make
to
me play that again, Phil. Oh,
well,
Phil,
you can't look at that and say
you're leading me into Heidi Baker temptation here.
You can't look at that and say it's being done decently and in order. It's both indecent and disorderly.
It's possible that she is, I don't know, I have no defense for what she's doing. Tweet number whatever we're on. We are to, I think we already did that. We are to assemble decently and in order, not flopping, twitching, and barking.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of, if you can't see flopping, twitching, barking, falling down, yelling, screaming, running around, doing kundalini-like movements as being decently and in order, I don't know what to say. You know what gets me about this, Phil? You've seen Drunk in the Spirit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And the barking and the screaming and all that, it looks demonic to me. I mean, it just looks overtly demonic. There's nothing about it that suggests holiness and righteousness and anything about the Holy Spirit.
What's the point of it? How does this point us to Jesus? What is this teaching us about our Savior?
It doesn't, and that's a very important point because it is the role of the Holy Spirit to point us to Jesus. And in these meetings where all of that confusion goes on, you don't hear the name of Christ. There's nothing about him that's even germane to what's going on there. It's always about the Holy Spirit, but it's a corrupted notion of who the Holy Spirit is and what he does. Like you say, it's a lower version of the Holy Spirit than what we get in Scripture, especially when Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I hate to, but if not to be pejorative, or blasphemous for that matter, but this is like gutter version of Holy Spirit, not a high and lofty and third person of the triune God who does dignified work, inspiring the Bible, regenerating sinners, sanctifying sinners. That's lofty business. That is God exalting business. This type of chicanery brings him down to about the lowest imaginable level.
Yeah.
All right. Here's my next one. You ready?
I am.
If the Holy Spirit consumed us with fire, we would be ashes.
Yeah,
well, that's the end of that tweet.
Yeah, that's right. Fire in Scripture usually signifies judgment. It amazes me the way...
Always, unless it can signify the thing you cook your food on.
Yeah, or...
But I think there might be one verse. Was my heart not set ablaze?
Or there's...
I think is about the only time when it's described as a feeling.
Or purifying fire, you know, gold tested in the fire. There are, I suppose, some...
Yeah, but purifying fire isn't a fun fire. Okay, were our hearts not strangely warmed? Okay, Luke 24. Okay. But that, to use that as a mantra for this ongoing calling down fire from heaven and Holy Spirit fire, and such an emphasis on fire is just not the way that the Holy Spirit is described. And it's his work of purifying. It's his work of judgment. It's an eternity in a lake of fire.
Yeah.
Ah, yikes. I don't know why they keep calling down more fire. All right. Here's my next tweet for your consideration. Any denomination that focuses on the Holy Spirit is wrong out of the gate. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to focus on Jesus. Your comments, sir?
Again, that's exactly right. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will testify of me. His role is not to proclaim himself, but to proclaim Christ. And I think that's well worded. Any movement or denomination that focuses primarily on the Holy Spirit is wrong right out of the gate. You're right.
Yeah, it doesn't even understand what the Holy Spirit is about.
Yeah.
It's not that he's less than the Son, certainly, but his job is to bring glory to focus on the Son. And so automatically, it's like, we're the denomination of the Holy Spirit. It's like, no, you don't have the first understanding of the Holy Spirit. That's not what he's about. So why are you claiming that's what you're about? All right, here's the last tweet of this particular ilk, and then I've got one more for your consideration. Quote, tweet, if you ask me, angel feathers, grave soaking, and making people fall down is a pretty low view of the Holy Spirit. Angel feathers, grave soaking, and making people fall down.
Yeah.
I think it's just vulgar.
Yeah, all of those things.
And low.
And not one of those things is mentioned in Scripture, other than the fact that there are instances where people fall on their faces before Christ, and people who, for the first time, gain the fear of God and understand his holiness, they'll sometimes fall on their face. Isaiah does it in Isaiah 6. But that's not what's happening in these slain in the spirit experiences. You watch them, then people start rolling around on the floor. They get up and start dancing and acting goofy. This is not someone who's smitten with the fear of God. It's I don't know what it is, but it's, as you said, vulgar. And to say this is the Holy Spirit's doing is a very low view of the Holy Spirit and what he does.
All right, and here's my final tweet for your consideration. Are you ready, Phil?
Go.
If a radio host cannot label just one of these charlatans a false teacher, then he should be tuned out and ignored despite his polite protestations. : Benny Hinn, Heidi Baker, Todd White. # waiting.
Yeah, well, I'm with you, especially if you're mentioning those people. I don't think it's essential for everyone on Christian radio to even bring those people's names into the discussion. But when they come into the discussion, and especially if you're someone who in the past has recommended, you know, these people as valid examples of godly Christianity or prophets to be listened to, if you can actually listen to them and not come away saying, wait a minute, there's a severe danger here in this kind of craziness, then yeah, you're not to be trusted.
Well, and I might go a step further. It's not just saying, well, I've expressed my concerns privately in some matters to some of these people. That is not doing what I think we're commanded. A shepherd warns the sheep, doesn't give generalizations and say, you know, that guy crawling over the fence, I've talked to him. No, look out. There he is. There's the false teacher right there.
Yeah.
And if a fellow isn't willing to call out, now not always by name, but some when this is the topic of discussion, the inability to call by name somebody who is blatantly a false teacher, to me, if that particular radio host won't do that, then everybody should go, we're done. We're done. and do not accept. Well, I've been critical in the past of some naming at least one false teacher. Denouncing that would be a good step in the right demonstration to give some credibility to the claim that he's critical of his own movement.
Yeah, Todd, you know, honestly, I think since the middle of the 20th century, this has been the greatest deficiency in mainstream evangelicalism. It's almost a fear, a reluctance to be critical of gross error, even the grossest errors. So you've got a lineup of, you've got multiple Christian television networks, at least nominally Christian. They call themselves Christian. They are loaded with false teachers, false prophets, charlatans, money-grubbing televangelists, and all sorts of spiritual miscreants. And most of the top leaders, most of the elite speakers and authors in mainstream evangelicalism never even give a nod of notice that these people exist. And they're not warning the sheep against them. And now you've got the blending of the of Reformed Christianity and the charismatic movement, and these charlatans and extremists are becoming more and more part of the mainstream themselves. And I think you could make the argument that as far as the charismatic movement is concerned, they are the mainstream. And you have very, very few voices saying any words of warning about it. Then at a lower level, you have people who fancy themselves discernment experts who are full-time critics of everyone, and they are so critical of everything and everyone that you weary of hearing their criticisms because they never have anything good to say about anybody. What we need are articulate voices, people who love the scriptures and are capable of sound, solid, positive biblical teaching, who are also willing to analyze and critique these extremists and crackpots. And it's pretty hard to think of names of leading men who are both capable of delivering sound biblical exposition and courageous enough to actually call out and point out some of the errors in some of the most popular religious celebrities that are out there today.
Yeah, and to be clear, somebody's ministry should not be about simply about denouncing false teachers.
No, but that is
that's an imbalanced ministry too.
That is part of every church leader's duty, however, you know, that
but it is a part.
Yeah.
And being clear with a call that says, no, this one we're safe in stating is a false teacher. Phil, to demonstrate, ask me what I think about John Hinckley. Go ahead.
What do you think of John Hinckley?
Well, you know, he does some things that I'm not sure that I would do. And, you know, many times I've talked about some of the excesses of a potential assassins. So, you know, he's a dear brother, and he's a wonderful man of God. And you know, in the past, I have talked about some of the excesses of people who try to shoot presidents. How'd I do? Is that a satisfactory response to the question?
It's sadly pretty typical. I recognize the caricature you're doing because I've heard it many times. And that's what I'm saying. I think one of the reasons we have so many sort of extreme and off-the-wall discernment ministries, bloggers who do nothing but criticize and indiscriminately criticize everyone, is because some of the trustworthy voices either speak like you just spoke, or they don't ever say anything critical at all. They prefer just to ignore the fact that there are wolves and heretics out there.
Mm-hmm. Now, Phil, if I said that to you about John Hinckley, if that were my response, what would you assume about me and my attitude toward John Hinckley and people who do bad things? What would you take from that?
Well, I would think you were lacking in moral courage, frankly, because I think it takes just as much moral courage to speak out against something that is deceiving people and popular. And in that hypothetical case, that's not even the case. But you dealt with it as if you're afraid to be candid when, you know, everybody...
Why would I be afraid to do that? What could I lose if I spoke out clearly?
you might lose some time, because when you do any kind of critique like that of someone who has a popular following, you're going to end up in an extended discussion where you have to justify your criticism and document the errors that you're talking about. And it's time consuming, and it can be very frustrating. And that, I think, is the biggest issue, that people just want to wash their hands of the controversy and say, look, I'd rather just...
Or is it possible that the concern would be I might lose some listeners or some followers?
Yeah,
and even worse, is it possible that if I'm not willing to denounce false teachers, that I actually agree with their false teaching?
Or it could just be a sinful fear of man.
Or it could be that.
Philosophy, a hardbound collection of all the life lessons I've learned.
God is not a Gumby action figure that you can shape any way you want.
Phil, have you gone mental?
Act like men, not like girls.
I've got a real clear message for the two of you on that. Stop doing it.
How about we agree to argue until one of us actually refutes the other?
Are you kidding me?